Penguin Random House Audio presents My First Popsicle, an anthology of food and feelings. Edited by Zosha Mamet, read for you by a full cast, with an introduction and note read by Zosha Mamet.
Dear listeners, if you're interested in checking out some of the delicious recipes mentioned in this program, please be sure to check out the bonus PDF.
Introduction, written and read by Zosha Mamet. There are a few things we can't live without. I mean, there are things we think we can't live without, like coffee or sex or our favorite television show. But in terms of basic survival, the things we actually need are few in number. Water, oxygen, sleep, and food. And maybe love, but that's if you want to get existential about it, and I feel like we should stay literal for the time being. So the first three things are obviously essential, but also slightly boring. Water, oxygen, sleep, sure. Food? That's something else entirely. Food as a subject is a black hole. It is a word ripe with associations, stories, attachments, memories, disorders, emotions, hang-ups. The list is endless. My point being that at the end of the day, we all have thoughts and feelings and emotions when it comes to food. Certain foods more than others, but all of us just the same. And given that food is listed as one of the few basic things we need to survive, I think we often forget how intimate our connections are to this topic. So I wanted to create a book of stories that highlighted that connection. This all started a few years ago when my husband, Evan, and I went out to dinner with two friends of ours. During the meal, the wife took out her phone and said that she had to show us the cutest video. It was of their two-year-old son having a popsicle for the first time. The video was incredible. In the video, his mom hands him the popsicle and he tentatively puts it to his lips. He immediately pulls the popsicle away and starts to cry. But then a wave of curiosity washes over his face, and he very slowly touches the popsicle to his lips again. There are another few moments where he looks slightly confused and is certainly debating the pros and cons of whether to venture forward or abandon the mission of this cold, sweet, alien thing. But eventually, he takes the plunge and shoves the popsicle in his mouth. And then, the most epically massive smile breaks out over his face, and he starts to cackle in an infectiously giddy way. So, the broken-down TV guide version of this two-minute iPhone video is kid eats popsicle for the first time. Sounds pretty mundane, right? But believe me when I tell you that this video was striking on so many levels. I hadn't thought about experiencing a food for the first time in, I couldn't even remember, let alone having actually experienced a new food for the first time, probably not since I was around this boy's age. And the range of emotions that played across his face throughout this short video was exceptional. It was like watching a brilliant French mime. He hit all the big ones: fear, confusion, dislike, distaste, sadness, joy, jubilation. It was all there. And it was new. He had discovered something. I was blown away by it, and I couldn't stop thinking about it. As we walked home from dinner, it was as if a burr had gotten stuck in my brain, scratching away at it. Food and emotions. Food and emotions. The three words kept knocking about in my head like a pinball machine. And then, over the next few days or weeks, I'm not entirely sure of the timeline here, my memory isn't great, the topic continued to stew. I suffered from severe anorexia growing up, so I have my own history and emotionally fraught connection to food. I thought deeply about that on a personal level, my journey with it, the stories I had to tell about food in general, specific foods, dishes, and my feelings towards them. And then, as I thought more about it, I realized how universal this topic is. No matter who you are what your upbringing was, where you came from, your religion, your age, your profession, no matter what. We all have some form of emotional connection to food and stories to tell about it. Once the idea had fully formed in my brain, I became convinced that this had to have been done before. Somebody had, for sure, already written this book. I knew I wanted it to be an anthology. I wanted to acquire as many essays from as many wonderfully different human beings as I could and hear their stories about food. I had a few to tell, but who wants to hear only from me? So I reached out to my book agents and I told them the idea. And they too thought, this is potentially a good idea. It has to have been done before. They did their due diligence and some deep digging to see if anything like this book existed. And hark, it did not. So in a conference room at Janklo and Nesbitt on a very hot Manhattan afternoon, my first popsicle was born. I wrote up a little pitch prompt to send to folks to get the creative juices flowing. Please note that I will insert as many awful dad joke food puns into this introduction as possible, so sorry, not sorry. And I decided to start by dipping my toe in, or I guess you could say dipping my finger into the sauce. That one doesn't quite work. Anyway, I sent it to a few friends, and I asked if this book was something that they might consider writing a piece for. And every person came back with a resounding yes. Then I asked two friends whom I love and admire as writers. I knew I wanted the book to be comprised of some essays by professional writers, but also by humans from all walks of life, artists of all different kinds, some cooks, musicians, actors, singers, really whoever had an interesting story to tell and would say yes to writing an essay. But I thought it was wise to ask two writers first. So I did. My prompt was very loose because I wanted to give the contributors the longest leash possible and the fewest parameters to hopefully allow them to write whatever they wanted without confines. Basically, my criterion was, it needs to be about food and feelings. Go. What I got back were two of the most beautiful essays I have ever read, and they were exactly what I had hoped for. Both were about food, one more than the other, and an emotional, circumstantial connection to that food or dish. And they were both wonderful, engaging, and personal stories, deeply specific to the humans who had written them. And they were both vastly different. I was over the fucking moon. And then I got a job, my day job, acting. So that took up a bunch of time. And then a global pandemic happened and the world shut down. And then, I don't know, my brain broke. And for some reason, my first popsicle got put in a drawer in the back of my mind. Until one chilly morning in January, Evan and I were having coffee in our kitchen in upstate New York, and out of nowhere, he said, "Whatever happened with the cookbook?" And I didn't really have a good response. I sat there and thought about it for a moment, and all I could say was, "I don't know. It just kind of got put on pause." And he said, "That was a great idea. You should pick it back up again." And so I did. I'm sort of like a dog with a bone. When my brain hooks on, or in this case, hooks back on, to an idea, I go. So I wrote my book agents and told them I was picking Popsicle back up. And off I went. Full steam ahead. I shot off emails like a chipmunk on Adderall. My agents had told me that with the two essays we already had, we'd probably want a list of 10 confirmed contributors to go out and pitch the book with, and a list of about 20 more that I would reach out to once we had a buyer. It took me a week. The responses to my, "Hey, here's this idea I have for a cookbook / book of essays. Want to write a piece for it?" emails were swift in coming. And short of someone writing their own book, just having a baby, or shooting an epic film in Serbia, the responses were always a deeply excited yes. And that sealed the deal for me. These human beings who I
Sample complete. Ready to continue?